Broadcast, a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. Today we're studying in the book of Jude. We're looking at being a contender. I trust you'll have your Bible open and stay with us for the next several minutes as we go to the Word. Do you realize that if certain men crept in unawares back then, how many there must be today? Who are trying to turn the grace of our God into lasciviousness? You and I live in a day where you're okay, I'm okay. Where it doesn't matter what you do. You see, we live in a day where lasciviousness is something that's championed and that's celebrated. The world has no standard. We don't know what's right and wrong. Now, the sinners, which are unaware of who Jesus is, they look at our countenance when we find out about who they are. And we become the face of Jesus to those people, don't we? We don't want to be looking with a scowl. We need to look with a smile. Have you ever had somebody tell you a story about something you've done? Like maybe you ran out of gas one day. I say, man, you ever run out of gas? Oh, yeah. Everybody's got a story, right? Guess what? When somebody tells you that they're involved in some kind of an immoral behavior, we can smile and say, I got a story too. Can't we? We were all brought up in the same nasty down here. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 6 that there's nobody going to get to heaven with all these immoral behaviors. And it says, but such were some of you. But you're washed. Now you're cleansed. You know, Jesus didn't come to save the righteous. He came to call the sinners to repentance, right? Come to me. And he even told those Pharisees, he says, you religious guys, he says, listen, the publicans and the harlots go in before you. Isn't it good to know that he loves sinners? He's in the business of saving sinners because that's who we are before we know him. And so he says to them, he says, certain men have crept in and they're teachers, rudders of ships, and they're telling people that they can do whatever they want because the grace of God is so wide and so large, you can do whatever you want. He says, no, what they've done is they've turned the grace of our God into lasciviousness. They've turned it into a license, and that's not to be tolerated. Paul said it this way. He said, we do not set aside the law. Nay, we establish the law. You know, one thing about Father's Day you can remember throughout your experiences as you ponder is that people always pick up the characteristics of their parents. And sometimes you'll be sitting there minding your own business and you'll be a lady and you'll be talking to somebody and say, oh my goodness, that was my mother. There she was. You'll be doing something and you'll think, oh, that was my dad. That was my dad. It sounds just like my dad. You'll stand like him. You'll walk like him. You'll talk like him. Some of his expressions. It's funny because the reality is that's natural progression of things, right? We have a new father. And we should want to be like him. We should want to mimic him. We should want to have the same disposition as he has. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, his son, that whosoever would believe in him would not perish, but would have everlasting life. That is the God that reigns on high. And that's who we want to be like. God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, John 3:17 says, but that the world through him might be saved. And so contending is not coming to the world in a contentious way, but it's coming with our sleeves rolled up, our minds engaged, and our hearts aflame for God and for souls because he loves them. If he would let his son go through that, you think he'd let you and I have a little hard time? That we might be broken alabaster boxes to bring forth the fragrance of our lives into other people's lives? You go through something hard and you're neighbors, loved ones, or friends, they see you going through the hard thing, but you're holding on to Jesus, even if it's by a thread. We echo Job in the book of Job, where he says, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. Shall we receive good from God's hand and not evil? You see, we live in a world of coddling. And what has happened is that because of the coddling, we don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. Well, I'll tell you what, some people in our world have gotten bad news from the doctor once in a while. It wouldn't have done them a bit of good for the doctor to, you know, soft-pedaled it, right? If the doctor doesn't look at you gravely enough, you're not going to change your diet. You're not going to change your regimen. You're not going to change your behavior. You're not going to make the appointment. You're going to think, this is okay, I'm going on my merry way. But when he looks at you with all the gravity in the world, he says, you must do this, this, or this. And if you don't, this is what's going to happen. I want to tell you something. If you don't trust Jesus, you're going to go to hell. Right? That's the gospel. You got to trust him. You say, well, I don't even know him. Well, that's okay. He'll let you get to know him. Just talk to him and start saying, God, I don't know you. And then dive into the Word of God. And you'll get to know him. God will reveal himself to you. I've seen it on many occasions where God has been doing a work of grace in people's lives. They've not understood what it was that was going on, but they knew every time they picked something up, every time they turned around, God was in the details. And by the time somebody witnessed to them, they said, you know, I've been thinking about that. I actually walked in one time. This is the weirdest thing. Never had it before. I was visiting a lady who had visited our church in Pennsylvania. I walked into her upstairs apartment. It was over a theater or something. It was some kind of a business building. And I went upstairs. It was a little apartment. She's standing by the window that's on the front of the building, just sitting there in front of her. It's so clear to me. And she was sitting there. And as soon as I walked in, she didn't even get up. She said, so how do I get saved? That was the first thing I said, man, yes, wow. She just wanted to know how to get saved. I said, man, that was like fishing in a barrel, right? Would to God everybody had the disposition of saying, how do I get saved? But the world has got a day of strong wandering, and every time you get a moment, the devil throws another butterfly and you go chasing it. Well, certain men crept in unawares. Let me show you a couple things. First of all, we saw the exhortation. That was the first three verses. Now we're into the examples of contending. You see, he's telling us that there are people who are enemies of Christ out there. They're creeps, as J. Vernon McGee would designate them. But he actually sets forth even more specifically some examples of who were what you might call their heroes. He says, I want to put you in remembrance, verse 5, though you once knew this, and this is something that is for you and me today. We knew this, we've read this. He says, you did know this. He says, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of Egypt, afterwards destroyed them that believed not. Now, what he's referring to here is they came out of Egypt. They went all the way through. They got the law, and they came down, all the patterns for the temple. They got the tabernacle all together, and then they're coming around for the tabernacle and got the tabernacle together. And then they came around to through the Moabites and Ammonite lands, and then they're coming up on the edge of the Jordan. They're coming up on the east side of the Jordan. And God said, now, you're going to take this land. This is what you're going to do. So Moses, perhaps ill-advisedly, we don't hear that the Lord told him to do this, but he said, give me one from every tribe, so there's 12 guys go into the land to spy it out. You remember, right? You knew this. What happened was, as they came back, 10 of them said, we can't do it. We're like grasshoppers. 2 of them said, we got to go. Let's go. And the 10 stirred up the entire nation to say no. So much so, they almost stoned Caleb and Joshua to death. Think about that. God had just parted the Red Sea. They've had a pillar of fire by night and a cloud by day following them. Manna every morning. They've been blessed, 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 1,000 times blessed. And God is saying, you're going to go through. You're going to win. These guys are saying, but did God be for us? They can't stop us. They cannot stand the 2 that were for God's plan. They were going to stone them with stones. But it says they perished. The entire generation perished. It doesn't mean they were lost. It means that they all died. They didn't get to go in. Now, the reason we know that is, first of all, let me give you a couple of examples how we know it's not saying everybody was lost, because there was 40 years. And in those 40 years, there were some pretty high marks. Moses certainly was a high mark, right? Remember Moses? He didn't get to go in. He struck the rock. See that? He perished in the wilderness. Didn't get to go in. What about Phineas? Remember Phineas? Man, those Moabite women came in and they threw themselves at the feet of the boys, and the boys went a-whoring after the women. God broke forth, because that was the way Balaam had taught them to do, was send the women in. And they just started dissembling in such a wicked way. When they finally about got everything cleaned up, one guy says, no, you don't realize. And he brought his cutie with him. He says, she's so sweet. You don't understand. Look how wonderful she is. Can you see it? Phineas rose up in anger. He took a spear and he put it right through both of them. Numbers 25. The Bible says he will have a covenant of peace for the rest of his days, but he perished in the wilderness. See my point? Let's make the application. Believers can get saved, but they can not contend, not engage, and then they begin to pine. And their whole days, they're walking around in the wilderness. Now, we might not know whether they're saved or not, but many of them are saved. They're just pining. What the Bible talks about in the soils is withering or being scorched. They walk and they're being zapped all the time because God says, if you be without chastening, you're not a legitimate child of God. You have to have chastening. It's in Hebrews chapter 12 if you want to look it up. But here's the way this word perishing is used, because I want to make my point come home to you. You remember where the Lord Jesus said in Matthew chapter 10, he that findeth his life shall lose it, but he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. The word loseth both times is perish. Same word for perish here. In other words, it means let it die. So he that dies to himself will live, but he that lives for himself will die. It's sort of a continuum that he puts there. He says in another place in chapter 16, a similar thing, he says, whoever will save his life shall lose it, and whoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. Same kind of thing, but he keeps repeating it because it's a truth. Another verse is in Romans 14, verse 15. If thy brother, which is obviously a saved person, be grieved with thy meat, now walkest thou not charitably. In other words, if you let yourself have the freedom to eat the meat sacrificed to idols, and you go ahead and eat that, even though your brother has scruples about it, if you do that, even though he has scruples, he says, you're not walking in love. He says this, destroy not him. Same word, destroy. Destroy not him with thy meat. Now my point is, he's giving us an example here in Jude, that those in the Old Testament who did not take God at his word and believe him to the going in of and conquering of Canaan, he said they all perished. They didn't all get lost. They all died. And for a long time they were in the wilderness. It was a 40-year funeral procession. You ought to do that sometime. Take 1.5 million and divide it by 40 years worth of days, and you'll find out how many funerals you might have had each day for 40 years. It was like 1,000 or 1,200 or something a day. Now, some of them died in clumps because they were being bad. But if you were to iron it out, it's pretty amazing. 40 years. Now, I just don't want us to be that. I don't want us to be wandering around with nothing to do. I want us to be contenders. Don't you want to be a contender? What you see, as you see here, is he's calling us to be contenders. He says this, he says God, first is the example of contending, because what God did was God dealt with the people in their own ranks, and he says that you knew that afterwards God destroyed them that believed not. So he dealt with the problem. He cleaned house. In essence, what is being suggested here is that what he did was he allowed them to have it their way. Just like Burger King, right? Have it your way. And you know, the Lord's not going to make you do anything. He's not going to twist your arm. He's going to tell you, here's the epic you're involved in. Here's the amazing reality that you and I exist in. There's coming a kingdom. There's coming a king. There's coming a victory. There's coming a destruction of this world in the form that we see. He tells us that what we have to look forward to, I have not seen and ear have not heard about. Neither is it entered into the heart of man, the things that God has prepared for us. He says, this is stuff I can tell you, but you wouldn't even get it. He says, listen to me. Like, you know, snap out of it. You know, we need to wake up because the reality is we are part of a continuum of time. Everything about human history has revolved around the Lord Jesus Christ. It was all building up to his coming, and now it's all building up to his second coming. He was the one who was called the seed of woman back in Genesis chapter 3, who would crush the head of the serpent. He's always been in the shadows and in the corners until he came in the incarnation. Well, that concludes today's portion of the message. This has been a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. And I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. I hope you'll join us Monday through Friday for our verse-by-verse studies. And we hope you'll tell others to tune in as well. If you'd like to contact us and learn more about our ministry, go to faithbaptist1.net. You can also download recent broadcasts on our homepage. We hope you'll make it a point to tune in daily as we go to the Word.